Today, we have on a woman who is a Ukrainian lawyer and a mother who lives in Switzerland. And we're talking about her memoir, Osha. It's her journey into Judaism. She is Tetiana Michaels. Hello, my name is Josephine Pembroke. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, Josephine. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute
Thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much.
So why have you taken this massive step in your life and converted to Judaism, this very ancient, male-orientated, very old-fashioned Orthodox, you know, religion?
So I was born in Chernivtsi, which is predominantly Jewish.
Yeah.
And among Jews, I have a lot of friends who are Jews, and so are my parents. And it felt very natural for me. It was very, very natural in a way that I feel I'm home. I feel I did something for myself that I was looking for. And when I met my husband, I realized this is it. I'm coming home.
Amazing. So it wasn't just him. It was all his religion, everything. Everything felt right for you. I found it very interesting, the book that you mentioned about your grandmother. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, my great-grandmother, it's a grandmother of my mom. Mm-hmm. She was an amazing woman. I spent many summers with her, and she taught me a lot of things. But at that age, I was young. I didn't understand a lot of things. I couldn't even question why would she teach me 39 melachot, which is prohibitions on Shabbat, something that you cannot do. And I never asked her questions. I was 7, 8, 9 years old. And some things just clicked when I met Marnin and I started learning about Judaism. I was curious. And then I realized, oh my God, this is what my great-grandma taught me. This is what she told me. I was 25 and my mom gave me a call and she said she's lying in bed and most probably she will go away. And at that time, she was holding my mom's hand and she said, could you please ask a rabbi to say a prayer for me? And that is something that made me feel, oh my God, there is something happening there. My great-grandma didn't tell us much, but certainly something she was, you know, she was,
was it easier
hiding
not,
from
was it
the
easier
world.
Not, yeah, was it easier not to be Jewish? So, you know, in those times.
Absolutely. Back in the days, people and Jews also used to, they converted because that's the way they could be alive. My great-grandma, she got married when she was 15 years old, and she had my grandfather when she was 16. So she was very young, and who knows what were the circumstances. So I believe the circumstances were, we can only imagine, we don't know. I tried to look for documents and find something, but nothing so far. But I think there is definitely
what's wonderful is, because Judaism goes through the female
secret
line.
Or yeah. Something she didn't tell us.
Definitely a secret there. And it's wonderful because Judaism goes down the female line. She was your mother's mother. You've just taken up the mantle again. You know, it's like you the calling was, it was beyond, it was in your blood. It was in your bones. It wasn't just an intellectual idea, was it?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I feel it's so natural. I'm so blessed. That's why I decided to call my book Osher, because
Osher
means blessing, joy. It means blessing, joy, happiness. And this is everything that I feel. And when I converted, I told my husband, Marnin, I think one day I want to put this on the paper. I want to put this journey on the piece of paper. I was so happy and interesting. My parents were beyond happy. They were just overwhelmed with tears and very, very happy for me.
That's wonderful. So it's a long journey and it's not an easy journey. You say that if you want to do convert properly, it takes a whole year because you have to go through every ritual, the year's calendar.
Exactly.
And you also said it was a lot of Zoom meetings with people in Israel, and you went to Israel. There was a lot of study, a lot of language, a lot of things you didn't understand. Can you talk us through it?
Yes, of course. So I studied for a year. It was the reason behind, you're right, there is a cycle of holidays that I had to go through and learn. And I studied with a rabbi. We started in August and we finished in August. So we went through the whole cycle of holidays. And every time we would prepare for the holidays, we would study the prayers, we would go page by page. We would actually not just read it, we try to understand every single word. And this is what I really like about Judaism. You have a lot of commentaries for from very famous rabbis, Rambam, who is a very famous, we've got so many books with his commentaries. And it's just amazing how many meanings does one single word has. And the journey was not easy. Definitely, I had challenges in a way that sometimes you don't understand. Sometimes you just simply freak out. You don't know what's going on. You don't want to be judged. You don't want to make mistakes. But my husband is truly amazing. He was very supportive and he was always there for me. So whenever I needed an explanation or I didn't understand the meaning behind, he would always tell me. And
isn't his father a rabbi?
First of all, he's the son of the, exactly. I was about to say he's the son of the rabbi. He can help this. He can do the service by himself, which he did. We did twice the Passover. We did at home. We invited a lot of people, and this is a hard work. It's you have to go through the whole book. It's called Haggadah. And you learn with people, and we gave the opportunity for people who would otherwise not go to shul, synagogue, or they would, you know, they are not, or the circumstances like COVID, a lot of people cannot just simply go to synagogue. So my husband's thought was amazing. He's like, why don't we just send an invite? We ordered Haggadots for all our friends who wanted to join in different languages. So we had Spanish for friends who speak Spanish, Russian. For me, there is no Ukrainian, but I was, you know, I was very happy to read Russian.
Can you explain what this is?
So we did all sorts of
sorry,
languages.
Sorry to interrupt. Are these prayers you're talking about, this book?
Yes, exactly. These are prayers, and also this is all about the Passover, the questions and the story behind when we taste the food. So it takes us back to the past. And, you know, you need some knowledge to go through it. You cannot just open the book and simply go through it. So my husband did a very good job, and people had a chance to participate also. What I like about him is that he likes to get people involved in his service. It's not only about my husband when he just simply reads. He invites little children, people who are maybe shy a little bit or haven't done this before. We make a very nice and friendly environment so people feel very nice and very comfortable. They have comfort doing it. And it was pure usher. It was joy, and we simply enjoyed it.
Do you think that obviously it has so much, it has many more rituals than Christianity. Do you think that the rituals are a big part of the spirituality?
Yes, I think so. The rituals are part of spirituality, 100%. And what I like about it is that it indeed takes you to the past. Because when you deep, when you go through the rituals, you feel how people felt, like how they went through this with matzah when they didn't have bread, when it was very hard to get out of the slavery from Egypt. You know, it's just a step-by-step process and very nice guidance, so to say, in this Haggadah that helps us to really connect to the past. So I do enjoy it.
And do you think, through connecting with the past, you can understand your life now more and relate to other people more?
I think it definitely helps us to connect with the past. I think it's definitely powerful, the prayers we say, and we're so thankful to God that, you know, he helped us, and we're a very strong community. We Jews are very protective of each other, and that's what I really like. And I think it's amazing. I think the prayers are just very nice and very natural for me to say. I feel very comfortable.
What about, I mean, I think of it, you know, sometimes as quite strange people in very old-fashioned clothes with ringlets, and I don't really understand them, and they kind of scare me a little. Did that kind of aspect kind of frighten you, the kind of very male side of it?
I mean, it's everyone's choice. You cannot judge people by their clothing. When you start talking to these people, you can understand why. It's certainly their choice, and I respect it.
Okay, but what about the thing that, you know, men, you know, I know not all synagogues are like this. I'm talking more about Orthodox, but men are in a certain area, women in a certain area. You know, it is very old-fashioned. How do you get your head around that?
So I talked about it in my book. I certainly prefer when we sit together, when we all sit together, men and women. But for example, in our synagogue where we go in Zurich, we sit separately. But after the service, we are at the table when we have kiddush. It's a blessing over wine, and then we can talk to each other. So it's very nice feeling when after the prayer, you just talk to everyone in the synagogue. There are some liberal synagogues. For example, I mentioned it in my book. We went to a synagogue in Jerusalem with my father-in-law and my husband. Yes, it was great. I was sitting next to my father-in-law and my husband who were reading together. I felt great. But also, I understand why they want to have women and men separate. It just helps you to focus. And I think it's a nice time just for yourself to be with God.
I mean,
God,
that's the thing about
to pray.
Yeah, the thing about religion is, I personally feel, is it's your own private conversation with somebody else. It's actually not to do with anybody else, and you know.
I agree. Yeah, I fully agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I go there to pray and not to sit with different. I mean, definitely after the service we talk and we ask how we're doing, but certainly you go and pray, and it's just your private time with God.
Now, because your husband is quite, you know, his dad's a rabbi, is your whole house kosher now?
Our house is 100% kosher, that's correct.
Can you explain that to people that don't understand it?
So kashrut is very complicated, first of all, but we keep our house kosher, which means we don't eat, we bring only kosher meat into the house. We have plates separate for meat. We have pots and pans, utensils, everything is separate. We have basically divided.
You have two fridges. I've heard about. Do you have two fridges?
No, it's not about. No, the laws is that you can keep the meat and cheese, for example, in the fridge as long as they're not close enough to each other. And let's say the temperature is plus 20 degrees. But if you go shopping, and I discussed it with the rabbi already when we studied. You can go shopping, you can put in one bag meat and cheese as long as they are sealed and they don't touch each other. So, and the temperature is also something that, you know, they just don't, they're not together. And that's how it works in the fridge. They can be in the fridge, but you don't cook them. So everything is separate.
Do you find that, because this is a really big thing. I mean, you're, you know, I'm sure you share the duties in the kitchen, but this is a big thing to take on, or I imagine the kosher.
It took me a year. Yes, it took me a year. I spoke to my mother-in-law many times. She helped me. I structured my kitchen in a way that you cannot get it wrong. And this this is the purpose. So I would get a different color. Our spoons would be completely different color. So you know this is for meat. And the other stuff, like the plates we use every day, everything is labeled. I actually had a lot of fun doing it. So we have a plate for meat and dairy. Great. It's fun. Once you get used to it, it's so easy. It's not that complicated. It just sounds, oh, it's complicated. No, it's not. It's
because I know to me, you know, there's lots of different sections of sort of Judaism, lots of different names. What Judaism do you practice? Is there a name for it? You know, like this
history. So I converted, Orthodox.
It's just called Orthodox.
Orthodox Jude. Yes. Right.
Okay. Great. And so you, congratulations. You just, when you were writing the book, you had a baby.
Yes.
You've had a baby girl. What's her name?
Her name is Leah Ruth. And she's adorable. She's 4 months and she's just a blessing. And one day, I hope she will open the book, she will read it, and she will say, Mommy, I'm so proud of you. Aww, it was a very nice journey.
What about
being, she was, you yeah. know, she
what
was...
What about being pregnant and having a baby? Is that any different being Jewish? Are there any different laws around that? Or is that normal? I mean, to us.
I mean, the only one of the exceptions, there are some exceptions for pregnant women. For example, on Yom Kippur, this is the day when we fast, pregnant women would be allowed to eat. So I was eating because it was very hard for me not to drink, not to eat. There is a law, if you put yourself and baby in danger, you should eat. Mm-hmm. There is no halachic prohibition on that. So you can if you need, or if the person is sick, for example, he would also be allowed to eat. So there are exceptions.
Good. What about bringing up your daughter in a Jewish way? What, you know, will she go? What will be her lifestyle?
She loves it. She loves going to shul, to synagogue. I must say, every time we bring her, she smiles. She's so curious. You know, people just look at her and they told me last Shabbat, we went to shul and one lady came to me and she said, did you see your daughter? She was listening to the speech of a rabbi as if she understood everything. She was 100% focused and she's only 4 months old. I said, yes, that's my daughter. She loves it.
And are the female rabbis, could she become one?
If she want to, I will, you know, me and my husband will be very supportive. We'll certainly support her. Absolutely.
Fantastic. It's lovely. Now, lastly, I just want to ask you, oh no, hang on, there's one other question. Can you tell us about the immersion in the water to become Jewish? Can you tell us about that?
Oh, the mikvah, that was amazing. That was like being reborn. I think that was so powerful to immerse and come out of the water as a Jew. I was covered with tears. It was so powerful and so amazing. Such a blessing I had after all that year of studies and fears that I overcome. And I came out and I was so proud. I said, finally, I'm home.
Wonderful. And then you got married a few hours later.
Yes. So we got married 5 hours later, and it was amazing. We had our closest friends in Israel, my parents, my mother-in-law, and they were all there for us. And it was just a small wedding, which was amazing, and we'll never forget it. That day was just changed all my life.
And you did all the rituals. I've seen the photographs. If any, when people buy the book, they can see all the lovely photographs with, you know, the canopy up. I don't know what that's called. And breaking the glass. And you did everything.
We did everything. Yes, it was amazing. Definitely a year that I would never forget. And that's why I thought I want to write something that will live beyond me. And this is what I have. I have my book, Osher, and I hope my friends, readers, everyone will enjoy it. I really do. I really hope.
Okay, one last question. Can you tell us something about Judaism that would surprise us that we don't know?
It depends probably what people want to hear, what can surprise you. I think there are so many nice Judaism. It's such a religion that I don't think there is something that could surprise. It's something you can learn, you can practice, and see if it fits you, if you're comfortable with. But I think there is so much joy that everyone can find something really nice for him or herself.
Lovely. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today. And I know it's been quite hard for you to get onto Zoom because you've now just gone back to your parents in the Ukraine. So that's wonderful. So it's called Osher, My Journey to Judaism by Tatiana Michaels, and it's published by the CPI Group.
Thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous, and congratulations. And will you just tell us, because you say it in the book, what are the two reasons why you really love Judaism? You say it over and over again. You say it's family.
I love Shabbat very much.
You said family. It's family. And you said education. Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I think those two things
certainly keeps the family together. I think it's very important to have one religion in the family. And it certainly makes stronger.
Wonderful. Thank
and
you so much.
Shabbat is something we like to do as a family.
I'll just tell everybody know Shabbat is the Friday night. So that's the night when you get out all the candles and everyone comes together, and it's a beautiful ritual every Friday, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes,
eating and drinking and breaking the bread, and you know, wonderful. Well, what day is it today? Okay, you've got a few more days. I hope you're going to have a Shabbat with your parents this Friday in the Ukraine.
Yes, definitely. I will light my candles and I will definitely enjoy it. And I reached out to the community in Chernivtsi, so I'll be happy to go and see them.
Fabulous.
With my little daughter. Yes, we'll
Wonderful.
Go and say hi to the community. Absolutely.
Well, congratulations and have a wonderful time. And thanks for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. You've been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tatiana.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Pleasure. Justin.